Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Ain't gonna burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.
You deserve more than feeling constantly fried to a crisp. Welcome to Fried, the Burnout Podcast, where you get the understanding, the community, and the information you need to end burnout for good. I'm your host, Kate Donovan, and all of my work focuses on hashtag ending burnout culture. Outside the pod, you'll find me on stages at conferences giving keynotes, in offices providing corporate trainings, doing virtual VIP one-on-one work, or supporting our group program, Unfried, that is run by my right-hand woman, Sarah Vosen. Both Sarah and I have been through burnout and came out stronger, happier, and more fulfilled, and we want that post-burnout growth for you, too.
Hi, Fried fam. It's Sarah. We're back. We are continuing on with trying this real coaching, real-time thing here on Fried, and I'll be guiding Christy through a challenge in her burnout recovery, and you get to listen in. Why are we doing this? Because we see it as a win-win-win. The person being coached gets supported, you get to learn through their experience, and I get to show you what I do best. You'll see that vulnerability is strength, that help is available, and that change is possible one step at a time, when that step is small and doable, which I know you've heard us talk about many times. If this story, if this episode, if this experience, this coming to an aha resonates with you, please share this episode with a friend and leave us a review wherever you listen to your podcast, because your engagement helps us reach more people, helps more people heal, and helps us end burnout culture more completely. So we all want that, right? Let's get into it. Like I said, today we're talking with Christy. Welcome to Fried, Christy.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. Thanks for being here. Let's get started with you telling us about how you realized you were burnt out.
So I was listening to Kate actually as a speaker, and she started talking about burnout. I had never heard about burnout before. And as she was talking about it, I felt so called out. I was like, I swear she just told me my life. And the more I listened to her, you know, I spent a couple hours with her that day because she was in different sessions. And the more she talked about it, the more I was like, oh my gosh, I feel like I have been burnt out for years. And her words really spoke to me. And I started to really take a look at my life and like how I was feeling, you know, over the last few years, and just kind of looking at myself.
Right. And what were the things that you really noticed? What stood out for you that confirmed your burnout?
Right. I mean, just like I'm constantly tired, but I have no reason to be tired. I slept all night. You know, I feel refreshed first thing in the morning, but literally by midday, I'm like, why am I so tired? That was a huge thing. You know, my depression and anxiety spiking up and really not being able to like pinpoint anything that could particularly, you know, point to why it's flaring at the moment or anything. You know, it's kind of like I felt like I was in a constant draining. Mm.
Like no matter what you do, you had a leaky bucket.
Yeah.
Like you'd gain some energy and then blah.
Yep.
So
yep.
What
and
do
it
you
was like one inconvenience or one thing, you know, that didn't go the right way would set me completely over the edge.
So the unpredictability of life.
Yep. Yep.
Right. And in your application, you talked about really struggling with the things that you can't control.
Yes.
So tell me a bit more about that as it pertains to like, what about that is so draining for you?
Like I'm the kind of person that I don't even use cruise control because I feel like I'm so out of control of things that it just, you know, it bothers me. I think that I like to control the outcomes. I like to control the situation because then I can't be disappointed. Like I can't be hurt. I can't be let down. And because I'm controlling how it all goes. And as I'm getting older and things are changing, I am finding there's lots of things that I cannot control any part of. I can't control the current. I can't control the outcome. And I really, really struggle with that. I get caught up on it and hooked on it. And I'm like, okay, I look for ways that I can control anything, you know, so that, well, you're not going to hurt me. Like nope, this is how it's going to go. And I'm finding there's lots of things that just, it's not how it goes. And it's a really hard pill to swallow when you're, you know, and so I feel like I can't reach my full potential and heal from being burnt out because I think I'm constantly like, nope. I've got to do all of this myself.
Well, one, it's, I have to do all of this. So it's a lot to maintain, right? It's a lot of energy output, but two, you're trying to control things that are not in your control. And so even though it seems like if you can control it, you will gain safety in that process. The reality is that any safety you gain is a false sense of safety because you have no control over anyone else's behavior and situations outside of yourself.
Right. Yeah.
So it's easy for that to go wrong because we don't know what choices other people are going to make or how the wind's going to blow or, you know, what thing will happen that we couldn't predict.
Right.
So that we're constantly getting thrown off our center because our center is outside of us in the hands of other people and other situations.
Yep.
This is super common. I mean, I would say this is a part of like a codependent pattern, right? Like codependency, meaning like I feel okay. I only feel okay when other people are okay or the situation I'm in is okay. So it puts that, your sense of kind of safety and self outside of yourself rather than inside of yourself. So it's very wobbly, right? It's like your center of gravity is way over there. And it's really hard to ground and know yourself and be inside yourself from that place.
Yes. Yes.
I believe you just said that you've been like, have you been trying to recover from burnout for a while and you're not getting very far? Is that what the situation is?
I feel like I've been trying to recover from burnout for years, I was a young mom. And so more than half my life I've got to take care of everybody around me. And I think any other mom would know what kind of burnout you get when you're a mom. But in the moment, you don't realize that that's happening, right? So it's really hard to like get off that mentality of like, I have to take care of everybody. I have to fix everybody's problems. I would say probably the last 4 years have been really when things took off. And I think it's because I was having issues with my oldest and he was kind of out of control, as you know, some teenagers do. And there was nothing I could do to fix it. I remember sitting on my bedroom floor just crying and crying because he was in such turmoil. We had to send him away and he was blaming me and all the things. And, you know, when you've spent 17 years fixing and controlling and handling everything, when you sit there and feel defeated, I think that's when it finally hits you. And I would probably say that's when my burnout really started. I felt defeated in life. There was, you know, nothing that I could do to fix him, to fix the situation. You know, it kind of just had to go about. And that I think was really hard.
Yeah, that does sound tough. That does sound like kind of the proverbial straw that broke the camel's back type situation, right? Where it was like that level of feeling out of control and the energy you spent to try to find something that could help you feel in control and safe. And it just wasn't working.
Yes.
Right. This is like my mantra now is I cannot control anyone else's behavior. Yeah. So I have to come back to that too. I had a similar, I'm not a mom, so that's different, but I was doing it with my patients to a degree, which was like, I was taking more responsibility for their health than they were taking on for themselves. I was abandoning myself to schedule people wherever they could. They decided it was okay to see me, and I would get rid of my lunch. I would get rid of my dinner. I would, throw my workout out the window in order to see them. So it's constantly abandoning my needs in order to serve others, which is the pattern of martyrdom that mothers are often sort of indoctrinated with and modeled from our mothers, right? It's like, this is a very common pattern and it does not serve us, right? It's like, yes, kids need us, and I'm not a mother. So, I say this, like, I only know based on what I'm witnessing in my friends and family. So easier said than done. And I honor mothers everywhere because I don't know how you do what you do. It's amazing. But I have an idea of, just from my own experience of like being mothering and still having this been indoctrinated with this pattern of martyrdom, of abandoning myself in order, in the name of taking care of others, helping others, serving others. But because I was trying to find something I could control in order to find safety, because I wasn't taught how to find safety within my own body, right? With boundaries that protect me, with the ability to attune to myself and my needs and feeling empowered to protect my needs with whatever boundaries or whatever I needed to do. Now, when I say that, what would you say your relationship with yourself is? Are there some places where you are empowered to take care of yourself and meet your needs or protect your capacity? Or are you full on feel like you're not doing that anywhere?
I think that the only thing that I do consistently to take care of myself is take my medication for all this, Other than that, like, I usually put myself on the back burner.
How's that working out for you?
It's going not so well. I feel constantly tired, and I have no reason to be tired, but it just makes sense that like,
but you do.
Yeah.
You just listed all the reasons you're tired.
You're right.
There's a lot of, I'm glad you're taking your meds, and I'm glad you are sleeping and feeling refreshed in the morning. Those are actually, things that are working towards you, right? And those do count as ways that you are taking care of yourself that you have control over.
Right.
So please let's acknowledge those and give yourself credit for them and count them as, I do know how to take care of myself in these ways, and let that be a foundation for an example of ways that you can take care, other ways you can take care of yourself that you just maybe haven't felt like you had permission to.
Right.
Up until now. Mm-hmm. But now you're feeling the effects of, I get two things my way. Mm-hmm. The rest of it. Oh, hello, balloons. You guys know this Zoom feature where balloons pop up? I had two ways up, so balloons popped up. I mean, we can celebrate that, but it's a little premature. Oh, silly. Anyways, so in a way, you feel like you're at the beginning of your burnout recovery, even though maybe it's been many years.
Yep.
But you heard Kate, did you say it was about a year ago?
Yep.
Right. So you've been like percolated. You got the confirmation you were burned out, right? You resonate with all the things she was talking about, but you haven't really started recovering.
No. Cause like, I'm not a very patient person either. Maybe that comes along with the control thing. And so like, if I do one thing and then I don't feel better, then I'm like, well, this isn't working. So now what? I don't think that I've ever like tried to do something long enough to, fully reap the benefits. But
you're not giving it enough of a chance to see the outcome, whether it's good or bad or helpful or not.
Right.
And when you're burnt out, you're in such a hole of depletion that you almost can't see the bottom of that hole. And so when you start throwing in, I envision it like a hole at the beach where like you have this teeny tiny beach shovel of sand. And when you throw one teeny tiny beach shovel of sand, which is like one activity that like where you get a little boost of energy, you cannot see that sand hit the bottom of that hole because it's dark down there and deep. And if you say, that didn't help because it didn't fill the whole hole immediately. Mm-hmm. That's not an accurate it's not an accurate assessment of whether or not that tool or practice works.
Right. Right.
So we have to remember burnout recovery takes a long time because, and it takes longer, the deeper your hole of depletion is. So you've been depleted for many, many years. You said, you know, like your oldest you mentioned before getting on the call is 20. So you've been a mom at 18, mom for 20 years. That's more than half your life where you've been giving more than you've been receiving. And potentially you've been giving more than you were receiving even before you were 18, because mm-hmm. this pattern was likely established in your life in childhood.
Yeah, I would probably say so.
Mm-hmm. Right. So you've been digging this hole of depletion for a very long time. So it takes time to fill up. And this is a really hard one. In order to get out of burnout recovery, you either have to spend less energy or take more in or both in order to start, you know, filling that hole of depletion, filling up your batteries so that you start getting out of negative debt, energy debt.
Right.
When I do the unfried program with people, whether it's one-on-one or group, we start with spending less first.
Okay.
So we look at what are you spending your energy on? And you do a little assessment. So it's like all the things with the kids, you know, the things you do for yourself, if you have pets, like volunteer work, you lay out all those tasks. We actually do it as like your tasks are everything in the branches of your tree of life that is you.
Right.
You look at all that. And then we look at, well, what do I have working for me? What's in the roots of my tree creating a nice foundation? You talked about meds. You talked about sleep. Is there anything else in the roots of your tree filling you up, creating a strong foundation for you?
Not at the moment.
Okay. So how many branches do you have reaching up and out, and how many roots do you have holding you down and into the ground?
Yeah, it's fairly off balance. That's for sure.
Right? Like, is your tree stable?
No.
Would your tree fall over in the next strong breeze?
Probably. Probably wouldn't even take a strong breeze.
Maybe a gentle one. Right. So no wonder you feel so affected by the things that are happening in your life, because you don't have anything. Like, we already talked about this, like your center of gravity being up, but this is another way to visualize it is like, oh, wow. I don't have a lot in my roots.
Yep.
Right. So you could see how pruning some of those branches, saying no to some things or delegating some things, dropping them, would help you lighten the load up top and also give you a little more energy to invest in your roots and resources below. Because you need more than just sleep and meds. Those things are helpful, but there's some other things you likely need too.
Right.
And can you see how focusing energy on things you can't control is like a branch growing out of control in one direction is likely going to topple your tree over. So when we do this assessment of your resources, it's like you get to zoom out a little bit and see your life on one tree, and you get to see what you have control over and what you don't.
Yeah.
And the first thing we do, well, I would say the first thing we do is pay attention to what you do have control over, especially in your branches.
Right.
So it's like how you behave with your kids, how you behave at work, how much you choose to give to each of these situations.
Right.
so that you can start to recognize that I do have influence in my life. I do have some choices. I maybe haven't been recognizing them as choices because maybe they've been in reaction to what other people want you to do, especially if you're identifying as a people pleaser. You're like, I don't get to decide how I do what I do, how I do it. I only do what someone asks of me because I want to make sure I'm good with them.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Right. And so it feels like, well, it's new for sure, mm-hmm. but it feels a little like scary to do something for yourself mm-hmm. and also to own your influence in the relationship you have with someone else. But it brings that your center of gravity into yourself, your power into yourself, your locus of control comes inside of you instead of outside of you. But that stabilizes your tree. That helps grow your roots deeper. Because mm-hmm. you're only spending energy where you want to instead of where you feel like you have to, or you'll either not be loved or not be safe or get kicked out of the community.
Yeah. I hear that. I think I've spent a good majority of my life just making sure everybody else is happy and, you know, I'm doing what they want rather than what I need to do for myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah, because I would definitely say I'm a people pleaser. If everybody else is happy, then fine. We're good. It's less, you know, less stressful, less all the things.
Right.
It's less uncomfortable. And I don't like to sit with the uncomfortable.
Oh my God. Something that Kate said to me in my burnout recovery fairly early on when I was struggling with this exact same thing. Mm-hmm. She said, Sarah, you need to get comfortable with being uncomfortable.
Right. I don't want to.
I was not comfortable being uncomfortable. And that's a part of this pattern. You're like, when you're uncomfortable, I'm uncomfortable. And if I can make you comfortable, then I can be comfortable. Rather than just saying, I'm uncomfortable, what do I need? I can provide myself for that. Or that for myself, I mean.
Right.
So this is going to be a different operating system. Mm-hmm. Are you up for that?
I am. I want to feel 100% all the way. So I know it's going to take a lot of work, but...
It'll take work. It'll take practice. It's going to be uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But if you think about it, you're uncomfortable now, right? People pleasing becomes very uncomfortable when it's so depleting that you can't mm-hmm. function anymore.
Yep.
Right. And so now it's like the discomfort of exhaustion or the discomfort of like growing pains and like trying on a new operating system and behaving in a new and different way. Unfortunately, either one is uncomfortable, but one is going to deplete you more and one is going to help you come back to life.
Right.
So, you know, which one do you want to choose, basically?
I mean, I'd rather be on the path of bringing back to life. You know, I have lots of years left and I want to enjoy them, not constantly feel defeated in life.
Yay. Mm-hmm. I want that for you too. I'm so glad to hear you say, I want that, because wanting that is a part of what helps us keep going when it's hard, when you're uncomfortable and you're like having these growing pains and you're like, I don't like it.
Yeah.
So that said, right, we talked about like, you've got all this stuff you're spending your energy on and you've got not a lot of things that are filling you up. Mm-hmm. Do you want to start with pruning something to give yourself some energy back?
Probably. I mean, I've spent so many years in like, you know, mode of, yep, you can take care of that. And
like saying, yes, sure. I can do that. Add that to the plate.
Yeah. Rather than, no, I don't think I can. And I, over the years I've lost, like, what do I actually enjoy? You know, what actually is going to fill my cup and make me feel like me again? You know, for so many years, you're just doing everything the kids want and everybody else wants. You forget, you know, and being a young mom, I was young and didn't know anything.
You probably didn't know yourself. Yeah, you didn't know yourself that well yet at 18. I think back to myself at 18, like, I thought I knew.
Yeah.
But I did not. I only really learned through my own burnout recovery process.
Mm-hmm.
So I love that you're curious about that. Do you feel like you have like a pathway into yourself to even feel into what you need, want, desire, is fun, what lights you up?
Well, I recently signed up for a ballet class because I have danced on and off for years. And I thought one night a week, I can go do an hour of a class. And I'm really excited about that. And I feel like it's really going to open up some more avenues as to, oh, you do enjoy doing that. You do like doing that. Yeah. So I'm really excited about that.
Cool. So that may be something you get to put down in your roots as yes. something that fills you up. Now it's exercise. So likely it'll be tiring, but right. if it also kind of like lights your heart up and makes you feel excited about life again, then it also becomes a resource.
Right.
It's like yes. it's energy that you spend that has a good return on investment. Mm-hmm. It gives something back to you. Cool.
Yep.
So you've already done that. Check that box. Something mm-hmm. you're putting down. You know, you haven't experienced the class yet, but
nope. Couple weeks.
I yeah. can't wait to find out. Now, when we're trying to decide what branches to prune, what to take off our plate.
Yeah.
I like to look, you know, Kate loves looking at resentment. You probably heard her talk about it at that conference. Mm-hmm. I have people look at of the things in your branches, which one do you have the most resentment around doing?
Mm-hmm. Mm.
I know you haven't actually written out your list, but is there something that comes right. to mind when I say that to you? Is there something in your life that you have to do or you feel like you have to do that you resent doing?
Probably taking care of everybody. Feeling
yeah,
like I need
let's
to
pick
fix
one.
Everybody's problems.
Right. So that's probably many branches, but like,
yeah.
is there one that you want to pick to start?
I don't know.
Especially if it's something that you put on your plate that isn't actually your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
It isn't your kids, your work, your pets,
mm-hmm.
your life.
Right.
Does anything come to mind?
I don't know. I mean, the only thing that's really like sticking up is like caring what people think. Like, I don't know if that could be considered a branch, but like, I evolved my life around, well, what are people going to say if I do that? What, you know, like, I don't know if that would be considered a branch. I don't know if I could break that branch off or if that's too big of a chunk to to close out. But
I could see how that is exhausting. That's definitely exhausting. That's probably a part of everything you do and how mm-hmm. you do what you do.
Yep.
Can you pinpoint one relationship or task that you're doing because you're worried of what people will think if you don't do it? I'm thinking something like you volunteered to always be the person who bring cookies to your kid's sporting event or to work, or mm-hmm. like you're always the person who ends up doing the whatever it is because it looks good. And you're worried right. that people will think you're selfish if you don't do it. Something along those lines. Does anything mm-hmm. come to mind?
Well, yeah, I do that. I feel like, yeah, I mean, I feel like I'm probably always, you know, volunteering to do carpools or, you know, things for my daughter or whatever. And sometimes I don't want to, or I don't have the time, but I'm like, nope, I'll do it because I don't want to upset anybody.
Okay. So can
and
you
so
think
then
of
that
it?
Cuts into like my downtime, you know?
Right. Is there something that's coming up this week or next that you're already like, when you see it on your list or your calendar, you're like, oh, that thing.
Yeah. 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 Starting in 2 weeks. Yep.
And it's a recurring thing.
Yep. It'll be a whole like school year long type thing. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, there's lots of times, you know, to do it. There's lots of, but I want to be able to like split it up and not have to worry about doing it all the time.
Right. So when we do this as a group in Unfried or mm-hmm. one-on-one, I have you look at these resentments. So I love this. You've honed in on one specific thing that you already are like, oh God, that's a whole year's worth of stuff. And it gives you some options. Do you want to drop it completely? Like, do you want to just be like, nope, I can't do that? Or would you rather delegate it? You said you would, you kind of want to share it. So that's like a partial delegation.
Right.
You said it's driving. So the other option is like automate it, but
can't do that.
I mean, in LA, there's Waymo. There's Waymo. So you could automate it, which is hilarious that that's an option now, but like you could have someone else drive your kid to practice or a robot drive your kid to practice.
Yeah.
Or to school. Upgrade. Which would probably be the delegation, just not having to do it all the time.
Right.
So just based on what you just said, is it right? You want to delegate it, basically upgrade it, the experience by delegating some of it.
Right. Okay.
Do you know who you want to talk to or who you could talk to about sharing this responsibility?
Yeah, I definitely do think that I can talk to somebody and I might be able to even arrange that, like, you know, someone just does the driving for us.
Oh,
I just have to have that conversation. I just hate asking for help and I hate, you know, feeling like a burden. So, but, you know, it is something that I just can't handle. Like it stresses me out thinking about having to do it.
Right. So this is another situation where you're like, are you choosing the uncomfort, the discomfort of asking for help or the discomfort of spending more energy than you have? And like, ugh, the resentment of begrudgingly doing a thing for the rest of the school year.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that I would rather just have the conversation and try to get it lined out and get a good system in place. And then that's off my plate and I don't have to worry about it. Obviously there's going to be times that I'm going to have to do it, you know, if something comes up or something, but.
Right. But that's a totally different scenario than having to do it every time.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Do you feel like you know how to have that conversation?
Yeah, I think I do. Yeah.
Yay.
Yeah. I just have to have it.
Yeah. So when will you have it? You want to set kind of like a little goal time for yourself to have it? Well, you have to have it done by, I guess, the first time.
Yeah.
But having the conversation probably beforehand so everyone can plan around it would be nice. So when do you want to aim to have it, the conversation by?
Probably by next week for sure.
Which day?
I'm going to shoot from a week for today, from today.
Okay. So we're recording this on a Tuesday. So by next Tuesday.
Yep.
And as you say that, how does it feel inside your body?
My hands are starting to sweat.
I had a feeling.
But it's okay.
Right. So that's like discomfort. You're like, uh-oh, I have to ask for help. I have to have this conversation. So you know how to have the conversation. But is there anything about that that you like, do you want to describe what it is that's making you nervous about it?
I just don't want people to feel like I don't want to help out. You know, like, because that's not the case. I love to help out people. But at the same time, it's depleting when it's a constant
thing,
you know, 4 days a week.
So how do you want to say it? How do you want to say what you're going to say to convey that? This is about a capacity or a time issue, not a desire to help.
Right, right. I mean, I think I just say that, you know, just say, listen, I need to make time for other things and doing this consistently and being the only, you know, way of doing it is it's just not going to be able to happen this time.
How does that feel to say?
I feel bad already.
How do you feel when you do feel good about helping someone and you complete the thing?
I feel great.
Or someone else?
I feel like they can like rely on me. I'll always be there for them. So I feel like that is like a comforting thing for me, you know, having someone be able to rely on you and think you're dependable and like basically a good person, whether they're thinking all of those things or not, or they're just doing whatever, I don't know. But in my mind, by doing that, I am satisfying them.
would you like to give someone else the opportunity to have that level of satisfaction for helping you?
Yes. Yes. But then I just have to sit with how I feel about it. And I don't know, you know, like, I think if I got it all situated, maybe I would feel comforted and be like, okay, this is how we're going to do this. Like get a schedule or something.
Yeah. I think it could feel good. And also like, maybe it helps you to recognize, like, you know, you saw that kind of virtual image we just created of your tree and how little mm-hmm. you have in the roots. And yep. how much it would help you to have help, right? It would buy you back yep. some time and some energy, and it would help you fill in your roots down below.
Yes.
Does that make it feel like, oh yeah, I do need this help. It's not frivolous. I'm not asking for help for no reason. I actually really need this help. And I can let someone who's really excited about helping me feel good about helping me, because you don't let them do that very often.
Right.
But right. that's what makes a good relationship, I feel. Like when I can help my friends and they can help me and we take turns, uh-huh. I love a two-way street now. I never used to know what that felt like. And now it feels so good to have a two-way street with my friends where we are showing up for each other and we're taking turns needing each other. It's a very yes. different dynamic than this kind of one-way, like, I don't need anything from you, but I'll be there anytime you need me.
Right.
What I learned was those people, like when I started asking for help from some people, they couldn't. And then I realized, oh, is this actually a friendship? Is this the kind of friendship I want to have? Like, I don't like me being the savior. Is that's not friendship.
Yeah.
That's a dysfunctional relationship.
Right. Right. Lots of give.
Lots of give, no receive. And that yeah. is not working. It didn't work for me. It's not working for you. It's not working for the rest of the Fried Fam. Are you hearing this, Fried Fam? Raise your hand wherever you are if you're doing this too. So many of us. So many of us. It's mm-hmm. It's like, how do you get so depleted that you turn into a pile of ashes? Because mm-hmm. your tree of life burnt to a crisp and all that's left of you is a pile of ashes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't want you to be a pile of, I mean, you're singed, right?
Yeah.
But like,
yeah.
you don't need to
I'm
be.
I'm smoking.
You're smoking and you do not need to be a more complete pile of ashes.
Right.
Before you start changing this like mode of operation where you spend less and receive more so that you can come back to life.
Right.
So that you get to be a functioning, healthy adult for your kids that are now, they're getting older, but like, you want to be there to see the rest of their lives too. And right. maybe if they choose to have kids, their kids' lives, right?
Right, right.
There's only one way to do that, and it's be alive.
Yep.
Recover.
Yeah, for sure.
So how does that feel for a first step?
Feels okay.
I mean, it's, you know, it's uncomfortable.
It is.
Yeah. But it feels, is that a small enough step that it doesn't feel too big and you're going to end up not doing it?
No, I don't think it's too big at all.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Nope.
Do you feel in control of that situation because you know how you are going to handle it and you're recognizing that you have a choice?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why it's not a huge problem, is because I can control, you know, how the plan is set up, I guess.
Right. Oh my God, just wait until you do this for other things in your life.
Yeah, I can't wait to do that.
Right. You aren't giving yourself the option to be actually in control in mm-hmm. anywhere in your life except for your sleep and your meds. That's it. There's yeah. so many more opportunities for having control and having your own back and deciding, I'm only going to spend this much because I need to save this much for my recovery, right. for my kids, for whatever needs it in that moment.
Right.
Yeah. Yay. Well, I would love to hear from you next Tuesday.
Okay.
Or maybe next Wednesday.
Yeah.
After you get to have this conversation and see how you feel then.
Okay.
Good. You feel good yeah. about this step?
Yeah, I think so. I think it'll be good. Like, it kind of feels like a weight is lifting off my chest by me just being like, okay, I need to make a plan for this because it does not bring me joy in committing to this year-long thing. So, yeah.
Yes, let that weight come off of your chest.
Yes.
Right? That, to me, that is like an immediate yes from my body when I feel that feeling.
Right.
And it like a confirmation of, whew, that's the right choice then. If it feels like that, if it releases that weight, right, that's the right choice. Even if it's hard, even if it's uncomfortable, even though it's going to take a little energy to have this conversation, it's going to be worth it because it's going to save me energy in the long run.
Yep.
Lighten my load for many weeks, 9 months or whatever the school year is.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah. Christy, thank you so much for being here, for being vulnerable, for sharing your story and letting me guide you through this process to this next best step for you right now.
Yes. Yeah. Thank you for having me. It was really nice to talk to you and kind of get some insight on things.
You're welcome. And you're welcome to join on Fried. It's coming up soon in October. If you feel like, oh yeah, I do need this process that we're talking, I didn't go over all of it, but like more and digging more into this tree, your branches, what's in your roots, and then protecting it with boundaries moving forward, you are welcome to join us. And so are you, Fried fam, all of you. All right, everyone. What do you want to prune off of your tree of life right now that's weighing you down, that's heavy on your heart, that's making you exhausted? Think about it and let us know. Go hop in the Facebook group and tell us what you're going to prune from your life so that you can create a more buoyant feeling in your chest and exhale. All right. Until next time, take care.
Ain't going to burn ourselves out no more. Ain't going to burn ourselves out no more. Got each other on our side, plus all the folks at Fried, the Burnout Podcast with Kate Donovan.